I'd like to call the meeting to order and note the presence of a quorum. That first item is approval of the minutes of the members' meeting held on June 3rd, 2025. Do I have a motion?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? Motion carries. And the agenda items, Kathy.
Thanks, Harry. So Chuck will open up with the presentation of the third quarter financial statements, followed by Ellen, who will do the debt and investment report. And then Mary Hom will follow up with a report on credit risk. And then Neil will be presenting the fourth quarter fiscal year 2025 internal audit plan for your approval. And then Ernst & Young will be here to present their audit plan for fiscal 25. Danielle, Rob, and Lou will be presenting that. And we welcome back Lou Roberts. With the PAAA rules, he had to rotate off for a few years ago, but now he's back in the rotation. So welcome back, Lou.
Glad to be back.
There you go.
Okay, thank you. Okay. We'll start with the third quarter financial report. Chuck, you.
Thank you, Harry. Good morning. The third quarter of the fiscal year 2025 financials covered the period November 1st, 2024 through July 31st, 2025. At the end of the third quarter, the net income was $545.1 million compared to $539.3 million in the same period last fiscal year. The $5.8 million increase was mainly due to lower unrealized investment appreciation this period compared to the same period last year. This was offset by $31.3 million increase in realized investment gains from a larger investment portfolio and funds received from the Barry Park City Authority. Operating revenues for this period were $753.1 million compared to $669.8 million in the same period last year. Interest income on mortgage loans, the largest components of operating revenues, totaled $683.6 million, an increase of $106 million, or 18.3% from a year ago. Non-operating revenues were $235.3 million compared to $262.7 million a year ago. The $27.4 million decrease was primarily due to a smaller unrealized investment appreciation of $57.9 million this period compared to $137.4 million in the same period last year. This was partially offset by combinations of $149.5 million in realized investment earnings and receipts of $20 million funding from Barry Park City authorities. Operating expenses were $443.3 million, an increase of $50 million primarily related to the $44.4 million increase in bond interest. Total assets were at $31.7 billion, an increase of $2.9 billion, or 10.2% from fiscal year end 2024. The increase was primarily due to growth of the corporation's mortgage portfolio. The mortgage portfolio, net of conduit loans, increased by a net of $1.7 billion to $24.2 billion, accounting for approximately 76.3% of total assets. Total liabilities were $26.3 billion, a net increase of $2.4 billion, or 9.9% from fiscal year end 2024. Bonds and debt obligations, excluding conduit debt, increased by a net of $1 billion. New issuances were at $1.7 billion, while principal repayments totaled $729.3 million. Payable to the City of New York increased by $1.3 billion, primarily due to the receipts of grant funds to make mortgage loans on behalf of HPD under Section 661 of the Private Housing Finance Laws. Net position at the end of the third quarter was $5.4 billion, up by $545.1 million from fiscal year end 2024. This concludes my remark. Any questions?
There being none, we'll go on to the debt report, Ellen.
Hey, thank you. Corporation's debt report is as of September 30th, 2025. The last report presented to the audit committee was as of April 30th, 2025. During this time, the corporation issued six series of open resolution bonds totaling $776.7 million and four series of housing impact bonds in the amount of $488.5 million. The corporation redeemed $248 million of bonds in two series of open resolution bonds and $16 million in one series of standalone bonds. The corporation's debt outstanding as of September 30th, 2025, is approximately $18.1 billion. The corporation's statutory debt to ceiling was increased from $19 billion to $20 billion by the New York State legislature and signed by the governor in late August. Are there any questions?
I just have one question. Any plans to increase from the $20 billion?
Go ahead, Dylan.
Oh, yeah. No, it just was increased, mainly some of our issuance with the PAC NYCHA program. But I think we will plan on trying to increase it another billion this year with the legislature.
Yeah, it feels like a pretty steady $1 billion a year right now.
Should I go on?
Actually, could I ask one question? It might be on the previous report. I apologize. But in the fair market value assessment you have here, it's attributed the decrease to fluctuation in interest rates, but it's a big number. I'm just wondering if it's solely about interest rate fluctuation going from the $137 million to the $57.9 million.
Yeah, the interest rate stabilized it a little bit, so the appreciation, it's not that much. When the interest rate comes back down, the value goes back up, right? It's been steady for a little bit, so it's not going up as high.
I guess the question is it all marked to market?
It's all marked to market.
Yes, it is marked to market. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
So it is all attributable to that?
Got it. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Also, we have a lot of our funds in money market accounts, which are bank accounts, which aren't subject to the mark to market. The bank offers very good rates, and also in repo, which is fully collateralized. So, we've opened several new different bank accounts. So then it's less securities. Sometimes the bank accounts are more liquid. Because we can redeem at any time, but we do need a lot of liquidity. So that may be part of the reason why it's down. So
also too
much. Mainly the rates are steady. Go ahead.
Right. But last year the larger swing was because interest rates were
Yeah.
So that's why last year's swing was larger.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
I mean on the realized investment interest is actually it's up like $33 million. So it's offsetting $79 million fair market value down this year. So
Thanks.
You've never had a debate in the state over raising the debt ceiling?
Not recently. We haven't really had it's gotten
prior administration.
No, it was more occasionally when things got complicated, it was around like the volume cap question. Not so much on that. Occasionally though, it gets a little bit beyond process. There's a little because it gets into when things get scheduled and how close we need to be, and we have to kind of figure out if whether things are going to repaid, whether we're going to actually get too close at given times. So there have been times when we've been maybe slightly more aggressive because we're worried if their process stretched an extra several months that we could get close on things. But we've never really run into an actual problem to date. And I will say this has been true for a long time now, but the relationship with the folks at the state and the housing of folks at the state in particular has been incredibly good, collaborative, really, really a strong crew of professionals there who have been really giving good direction to their folks as well. So it feels like it's been very, very solid for the last set of years.
And I think a lot of that is largely due. Many of the folks at the state that we're dealing with have been longtime housers.
Yeah, they
and we've all worked together in the past. So there's like a lot, yeah, so there's really good relationships.
Okay, the next item is the investment report, Ellen.
Thank you. Corporation investment report is as of October 1st, 2025. Funds under management totaled approximately $8.1 billion. And this report reflects routine investment activity. Any questions?
Yeah.
There being none. Mary, a report on the credit risk.
Thanks. Okay, good morning, everyone. So the report before you is dated September 30th, 2025, and the previous report to the audit committee was dated April 30th. There were no new approved counterparties, and there were no credit rating agency actions of note. HDC's counterparty exposure remains diversified, with the largest exposures being with Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, and Wells Fargo. The Wells Fargo exposure is primarily in the form of construction letters of credit covering 15 projects and 6 interest rate hedges. Investments rated AA or higher were 43% of total investments versus 42% at the last report, while investments rated BBB and lower or not rated were 39% of total investments, and that was unchanged since the last report. And I'll remind everyone that all investments rated BBB and lower or not rated are fully collateralized by Federal Home Loan Bank MULOCs and or US Treasury Agency securities. The weighted average maturity of the investment portfolio was 1.5 years versus 1.6 at the last report. And finally, exposure to liquidity providers was approximately $786 million. That was unchanged since the last report. And interest rate hedges outstanding totaled approximately $1.9 billion. And that was just also about $100 million. Any questions?
Okay. There being none. The next item is approval of the fourth quarter fiscal year 2025 internal audit plan.
Thank you, Harry. I'm pleased to present a proposed internal audit plan for the fourth quarter of 2025. The proposed projects include 2 assurance audits required by the MOU with the DOI, which is petty cash and president's office expenses, continuous monitoring of HDC's investment portfolio and employee expenses, annual employee certification of the Code of Ethics, and ongoing work spearheading the PII working group and the AI working group. If there are no questions, the members of the audit committee are requested to approve the fourth quarter 2025 internal audit plan.
Okay. Next item would be the.
Sorry, we need an approval.
What?
We need an approval.
Approval? Yeah, do I have a motion? Sorry.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Now we'll go to the internal audit plan.
Excellent. Thank you, everyone. Great to see everyone this morning, or maybe now afternoon. I'm not sure of the time exactly, but just want to take a few minutes to walk you through our audit plan, which was included in the materials. So this is for the fiscal year 2025 financial statement audit. So we'll take a couple of minutes. Maybe I'll just start on the executive summary. Maybe a few new accounting pronouncements that are called out right there initially on that slide. So a few GASB accounting standards that are either required to be adopted this year by the corporation or going to be early adopted by the corporation. So already ongoing discussion amongst Kathy, Chuck, and their teams and our team on how to implement those and any impacts. So we'll certainly talk in more details at the audit results when we have the financial statements. You know, usually a good way to kind of walk through if there are any changes to the financial statements or additional disclosures or changes within the MD&A. We'll use the time as part of our audit results to walk the committee through those. But just a preview that there are a couple accounting standards this year that we will be working through. Maybe just next, just a reminder on some of our procedures that we go through. A good significant portion of our procedures relies on confirmations. So that's like directly confirming with banks or financial institutions that are holding the investments, the debt, as well as the mortgages. So confirming directly with those entities. And so a reminder that, you know, we will go through that process again this year. We've already started to align with Kathy and team using some of the September 30 financial information that's available at this point. So already taking a look at those to determine sample sizes, determine our method of sending those confirmations. So like I said, working directly with the team already to align on those really, you know, significant part of our audit procedures. Then maybe just a reminder on the right hand side of that executive summary page around the couple deliverables that we're really speaking to here. So this is the financial statement audit of the corporation, as well as the annual uniform guidance grant compliance audit that we do conduct each year, as well as the USAP reporting for those servicing as standards. So again, we would be performing those three procedures, or excuse me, we're performing procedures around those three deliverables. And so of really just a consistent timeline, I would say, where we're going to be doing our interim procedures this month and next month, then working through our year-end procedures for all three deliverables in that November through January timeframe, with our normal expectation to report back to the committee at your January meeting, as we do each year. Maybe with that, I'll let Rob take a couple minutes and just talk us through the audit services and the areas of emphasis, and just highlight the plan procedures in addition to the confirmations that I spoke about.
Thank you, everybody, for your time today. So on page 2 of our audit plan, the audit services here are consistent with how what they have been over the prior years. Danielle highlighted the primary opinions that are issued for financial statements, the schedule of expenditures of federal awards, commonly known as the Uniform Guidance Report. And then we have the USAP, as well as the opinion on the schedule investments. In addition to those, we also do, as necessary or if necessary, issue a management letter related to any significant deficiencies and material weaknesses identified in our audit, or any recommendations on improvements in internal controls. Those have not been necessary to report on in the past few years because we have not identified anything that would meet those levels of significant deficiency or material weaknesses. And then in addition, we do issue a report on internal control over financial reporting in accordance with government audit standards. That is primarily in addition to the uniform guidance. Any questions on the services related to the 2025 audits? Flipping to page 3, this just highlights some of the more areas. These are those areas that we focus on primarily because of the size of the balances in these accounts in relation to the financial statements taken as a whole. Danielle hit on really kind of the bottom third around confirms being the primary procedure there. For some of those areas that are not confirmation driven, so your operating revenue expenses, those processes where we have much more granular data, we plan to continue to use data analytics, leveraging those baseline expectations from the past few years that allows us to understand where that risk really sits, what it would be routine versus non-routine, because routine doesn't really carry as much risk on that risk of material misstatement. So that allows us to more, in a more refined way, focus our procedures on those areas of higher risk, which I will say are limited for HEC when it comes to that. So overall, from an area of emphasis, we have some context here, but I would say the theme is data analytics and confirms related to those. So I will pause if there's any questions on the areas of emphasis.
Excellent. Otherwise, I wasn't going to flip through the rest of the book, but there's a few additional pages, just some of our standard required communications, but nothing to call to the committee's attention from there, as well as just some additional information around the firm and some of our continued initiatives around the digital audit and some information there. So, I would say with that, you know, really, I think overall a consistent fairly consistent audit plan. While we go through a risk assessment process as part of our audit procedures and our audit planning each year, I would say overall, you know, a consistent plan again this year.
Okay.
Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Any questions?
Just a question. Your approach mentions AI, but I'm wondering if that sort of might increasingly feed into the audit, or how you look at it, or the procedures within the agency about sort of how they use it.
Yeah, so I would say with data analytics, we've had quite an expansion of our procedures, you know, in past years. Now we do have some tools that are in some ways using, you know, AI technologies. There's something around tie-out procedures. So helping us, right, there's a lot of tie-out of financial information from trial balances to financial statements, within the financial statements, footing and cross-footing. So we do have some tools that we will be leveraging as part of our audit procedures, but, you know, all in a responsible way, still with oversight, still with supervision and review by audit team members. But, you know, there is a little bit of that technology that we do have access to now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say if you look at how it's used, it's really RPA, robotic process automation, and these tools have what we'll call an AI engine built in that takes the output and the process of those robotic process automation. If we modify some parameters here, that it learns over time and it gets more efficient. So that AI is really focused on just using a very granular set of data and how it executes a process more efficiently, as opposed to, you know, creating some of those AI risks that we think about in general when it's more broadly used. And I think your question also was about how the entity uses it. So we do have a standard set of inquiries that we go through on the IT side, mm-hmm. to understand changes to the entity's systems applications, everything from cybersecurity, user access, third-party utilization. And so those inquiries are inclusive of, you know, what changes are being made that could incorporate or are incorporating factors of AI. And if there are risks that come from that, those will make its way into how we then think about executing audit procedures in maybe a more focused manner.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any other business?
So actually, yes. In other business, we would like to discuss the corporation's cybersecurity, including an internal audit report. And to do that, we would recommend a motion to enter into an executive session. Next door.
Do I have a motion?
So move.
Second?
Second.
So move.
Okay. Thanks. So we'll be back. Yes.
No actions or votes were taken during that session. So is there any other business? There being no other business, I would like to call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, and the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.